God wants sons and daughters. He called you his bride. You need to understand that you've got to participate in this process. You've got to get an amen down in your heart. You've got to be able to say yes to God. Wherever he takes you, whatever he does with you, whatever the circumstance. Somebody say amen. And we're thrilled and thankful. For those who may not understand, in the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 2, the church begins. The very first occurrence is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. They receive the Holy Ghost, the original apostles minus Judas, and another group of people, 120 in total. They receive the Holy Ghost and they begin to speak in tongues as Joel had prophesied that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. Speaking in tongues is a form of prophecy, an utterance, if you would. Isaiah had prophesied, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people," to whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest." And he's prophesying about the Holy Ghost. And 650 years later in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, that outpouring of the Holy Ghost begins. And so you want to look back to the original documents. You want to look back to the original church. How did it happen there? Well, they first received the Holy Ghost. And then they began to preach repentance, which means turn around. That's a transdispensational idea. It's always appropriate to repent before God, whether you're in the day of Enoch or Noah or Abraham. It just means turn around. You're heading in the wrong direction. Begin to move in God's chosen direction. And then they preach water baptism in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And there's no other way to get yourself free from sin than to go down in a watery grave and bury that old man in the name of Jesus. When you do that, the water is not the cleansing agent. The blood is the cleansing agent. And God washes your sins away. And as our good brother experienced today, you receive the Holy Ghost in the water. And in that moment, there was a book brought to God. And God wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. And he said, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." So we're replicating the biblical model in 2022. And we have made up our mind, no matter what the world's church does, no matter what they do down at the other places where people gather, but we've made up our mind that we're going to keep the light of the Word of God alive until he comes. We're going to keep oil in our vessels. We're going to keep our lives presentable before God. And for all the hungry and thirsty, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of them out there, they're going to be able to come and find an experience to actualize the promise of God in their life in a modern time. This is an ancient book, but it's real every day. This is an ancient God, but he's real in your life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can open the door to his presence just by calling on the name of Jesus. It means God has become our salvation. Praise God. So that's what we're about here today. That's what we're doing. Well, we've had all kinds of activity here, and I had intended to preach to you this morning, but we're not going to be able to get to everything today. So we'll have to do, all I'm lacking here is Israel. All we'll have to do is, we'll have to abbreviate this just a moment or two, but I do want to share with you the nuts and bolts, the basic idea. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor, and I want you to just relate to them the core idea here. Would you tell them, when you want what the world wants, you get what the world gets. But when you want what the kingdom wants, you get what the kingdom gets. I want to know if there's anybody in this house today that wants what God wants. We'll read a text so you'll feel like you've been to church. We're in 2 Kings chapter 5. starting in verse 20. I tell you what, God can break in anytime he wants. He can pour out the Holy Ghost anytime he wants. We'll stay as long as he wants. Praise God. Verse 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content. Take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when they came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And as he went out from his presence, and he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. If you love his word, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in heavens. We praise you, mighty God. Ah, we thank you, oh God. We magnify you. You're so good to us. Praise God. Now, we dealt with this in a recent service, and this is the story, the well-known story of Naaman, the Syrian general who served the king of Syria, and he had leprosy, and he was a conqueror, and he was indispensable to the king of Syria, but he was a leper. But he had, in one of his forays into Israel, he had taken captive a little Israeli girl who was now his slave, his servant. And she began to speak in that house and said, oh, would that not my master was in Israel. And then the prophet of God would be able to heal him of this leprosy. And word got out, and it came back to Naaman, and it came back to the king. And the king sent letters to the king of Israel and said, I'm sending a man to you that you might heal him of leprosy. And the king of Israel was astonished, and he was afraid, and he ripped his garments and said, who am I, God, that I could heal somebody of leprosy? And so he heard from the prophet. The prophet said, king, don't be tearing your clothes. I'm going to send this man to me, and I'm going to show him that there's a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman goes to the prophet, and as we discussed recently, he goes, and the prophet doesn't even come out and honor him with a presence. He simply sends out his servant and says, Naaman, go down to the River Jordan, the muddy River Jordan, and dip yourself seven times, and you'll be cleansed of your leprosy. And so Naaman was upset. He didn't like it. He was far too regal and royal to be dipping in a muddy Israelite river. And so he was going to go away without his healing. But the servants convinced him by saying, you know, if he had asked you to do something really brave and hard, you would have done that. But he's only asked you a simple thing. So he goes to Jordan, and he dips in Jordan seven times. And he's healed, and his skin is like baby skin. And then he goes back to the prophet and offers him all the treasure and the money that he's brought with him for this purpose. And Elisha said, we're not interested in your money. And in our story last time, he gets some dirt from Israel because he knows he's going to have to go back to the temple of his master's god, Rimmon. And he wants to be kneeling on Israeli soil when he kneels, because he said, I'm never going to worship anybody ever again except the God of Israel, because now I know. Know that there is a God in Israel. And he packs up and he's on his way. And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, says, Elisha may not want that money, but I'm going to go and get some of it. And so he goes. And in our text, he goes and he asks for a talent of silver and two changes of raiment. And it's reminiscent of another story. It's reminiscent of a story of the conquering of Jericho, when God said, go in, slay everybody, don't take anything out of that place. It's all to be just simply be burned and left, because it's like an offering unto God. And there was a man by the name of Achan that went in, and in a tent there in Jericho, he found silver and gold and Babylonian garments, and he quickly bundled them up and took them to his tent and buried them in his tent, just as Gehazi did at the tower. He went in and stowed his silver and his garments away. And both of these men wanted something more than they wanted to be obedient to God. They wanted something that caught their eye, something they saw in the world. But the problem with that is that when Elisha asked him and he said, Gehazi, where have you been? And Gehazi, who lives with the prophet, who lives with the word of God, who has seen countless miracles, who knows that Elisha tells the king of Israel what Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, is doing in his bedroom. He's so pervasive in his knowledge. And Gehazi really thinks that he can get away with doing something and it won't be known to Elisha. He said, I didn't go anywhere, but Elisha said, I saw you when you went out to meet the man and when he came from his chariot. And he said, is this a time for gaining riches? And he says, because you wanted this, that leprosy that we just washed off of Naaman, that leprosy is going to come on you. And he, in that moment, turned to leave Elisha's presence, and he was as white as snow with leprosy. Because when you want what the world has, you'll get what the world gets. I just want you to know, now I have to qualify, and I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning. I'm going to give you an abbreviated message, because we're just so jubilant and excited. We've had people get the Holy Ghost today, and we're excited about that and glad for that. But I'm going to qualify what I'm telling you. Because we are in an existential journey. We are fallen children of Adam, and we are distorted and we are broken, and our world is full of trouble. And the word of God said, life is short and full of trouble. And that's the skinny on it. But in the word of God, as you make your way in the existential, there is no better way to live than the way of God. Because in the way of God, there is blessing. In the way of God, there is mercy. In the way of God, there is grace and truth and goodness. I just want you to know, we still get old, we still die, we still get sick, we still fall, we make mistakes, and there's still sin sometimes in our lives. But I will tell you this, that in the middle of it all, I'd rather be in the house of God on a Sunday morning than down at a bar room on Saturday night. I'd rather be drinking with the people of God than drinking with my buddies down at the bar room. It doesn't make you bulletproof. It doesn't mean that we might not have a funeral. It doesn't mean we might not have to visit you in a place of trouble and sickness, because life is a long and winding road, and I don't know where yours will lead you, but I will tell you this, it is so much better walking that winding road with God than walking it with the ways of the world. Is there a witness in the house? Is there a testimony here? Praise God. I just want you to know, God promised them in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he said, if you'll obey my word and you'll follow my ways and you won't deviate from that, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your storehouse. I'll bless you in the way. I'll bless you in your children. I'll bless you in your home. I'll bless you in your business. He said, these blessings are going to overtake you. You can't outrun the blessing of God if you're living according to the word of God. He said, but if you don't obey my word, then all these curses are going to overtake you. But it's not as though God is looking at you and saying, okay, you're out of line, so now I'm going to curse you. What you've done is you've stepped out of the high place of the blessing of God. You've stepped back down into the natural existential state. We are cursed. The earth is cursed. The man is cursed. The woman is cursed. Everything is full of briars and brambles, and nothing grows all by itself in this fallen world. But when you begin to live for God, things get better. Things look up. There's some hope. There's some blessing. God alleviates some of the suffering. God gives you remedies for some of the problems. Oh, is there a witness in the house? Somebody clap your hands and shout to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so the preacher asked last week, what do you want? He said, what do you want? And you have to be able to identify what it is that you want. Praise God. John, what do you want, man? Bo, that's what he preached. Somebody was listening. Praise God. Hey, you want a wife? Want a godly wife? You want children? Well, let's just look at the big picture here. You want a happy home, free of as much dysfunction as you can be free of? Where people are loving and nurturing and not fussing and cussing? Yeah, you want that? When you want what God wants, you get what the kingdom of God gets. But when you want what the world wants, the world wants her to advertise everything that she's got. He wants her to dress in little skimpy things and offer herself to every man with a set of eyeballs. And when she wants what the world wants, she gets what the world gets. She gets pregnant at 14. She has two or three kids by the time she's in her early 20s. She can't finish high school. She can't go to college. She can't compete in the marketplace. She can't fulfill her God-given mandate or potential that God has placed within her. And she is crippled and broken because she's getting what the world wants. Now, if you think I'm being harsh and uncaring and unsympathetic, I am not. But I'm telling you today, it is not the will of God for your babies to get what the world gets. It's the will of God for her to walk nobly and like royalty, and to walk beneath the blessings of God, and to be honored, and to be respected, and to be loved, and to be cherished, and then to be the only one. Because the world's got it backwards. They want to have sex and then get to know you. But in the word of God, the sexual business is only for one circle of covenant. And that's the marriage covenant. And when you do it, don't do it quickly and don't do it flippantly. Because when we come, I'm going to give you the old vows, richer or poorer, and you have to say yes. In sickness and in health, and you have to say yes. For better, for worse, and you have to say yes. Till death do we part, and you have to say yes. And you can't get out of it because that's what God wants. But when you want what God wants, you'll get what the kingdom gets. And I'll tell you what you'll get. You'll get as many children as you and she are able to bring forth in agreement. There may be a surprise. Everybody that ever had a surprise said amen. Yeah. And you'll have harmony in your home instead of fussing and cussing and dysfunction. And you'll have a table, but it won't be big enough because it'll have to get bigger. It'll have to get bigger. And finally, in the late stages of your life, you'll have to get an even bigger table. And if Arthur was here, he'd say, I didn't see that coming. Anybody ever hear Arthur while the praise singers are singing? Sometime I channel him. Hey! If you're a visitor, ask somebody about it. But. Praise God. I'm so glad there's a heaven and our people are in heaven tonight, today. I'm so glad they got what the kingdom gets. Ask me how I know all this. Good question. Excellent question. Full of insight. I know this because the Word of God says it. The heritage of the Lord. The marriage relationship is like Christ and His church. And they never leave one another. They never leave one another. They're devoted. Good times, bad times, rich, poor, sickness, health. They never leave. God will never leave you. And if you are His, you'll never leave God. And you'll get what the kingdom gets. But if you won't stay, I didn't open it. You opened it this morning. If you don't stay and you want what the world wants, you want to come in and play, have a little church. You want to kick back and watch movies. You want to love sports more than you love the house of God. You want to love the world and you chafe at the standards and at the recommendations of the Word of God. You do that and then you start looking at another man or you start looking at another woman. And then that house begins to fracture and that house begins to break and the kids are left here and there and yon and who knows where they are and what they're doing. And the whole church is crippled and it's falling apart. That's Dawson's life. That's what happened to him because people wanted what the world had. They wanted what the world wanted and they got. They are scattered to the four winds. They are here and there and there's multiple marriages and I don't even know which end is up anymore. But somebody drifted to us on a piece of broken hope and dream and came to us on a piece of driftwood blown by the Holy Ghost, and he's standing in the house of God today, and his boys are in the aisle worshiping, and his little baby girl who has won the lottery. That baby girl has won the lottery. She got picked up by apostolics. She came into the house of God. My goodness gracious. And she acts like she knows it. She worships with purpose. But if you wanted what the world wanted, you would have gotten. Your kids would be scattered already. Your lovely wife would be gone off somewhere. Who knows? I don't know where you would be because you were a mess. You were generationally a greater mess than they were. So your capacity for messiness was far greater than their capacity. You got to hear this. You better understand this. Things grow generationally. This thing gets better with generations. This living for God gets better with generations. Oh, you need to hear that. This, I'm not looking back at the old days. I'm looking ahead at the best days. I'm looking for the best is yet to come. I really do believe it gets better. But you wanted what the church wanted. You wanted what the kingdom wanted. And look at you. You're getting what the kingdom wants. I was in a meeting this week. I was in a meeting and I heard a gentleman giving his testimony. He said, I was 19 years old. I came to the house of God. I began to apply the principles of my bishop. He began to do the things, love the things, want the things that the kingdom wanted. He said, in the first months of this year, I've had 2 offers for my business for $100 million. He said a lot of other really nice things in that meeting. I don't know that I'm at liberty to disclose, but I will tell you this. He turned his back on the world and he started wanting what the kingdom wanted. And he began to get what the Jesus said, you can, if you leave family and you leave houses and you leave lands and you make a commitment to God and it costs you something, Jesus said, I want you to know that you're going to get 100-fold whatever you gave up here. And in Luke it says, in this life and in the kingdom to come. Is there a testimony in this house? Is there a witness here that can say, I put my money on God. I put my hope on God. And God has blessed me. Is there anybody here walking up and down in the blessings of God? Is there anybody here that's loving what the kingdom wants? Praise God. Praise God. So if I were going to preach to you today, that's what I would have preached. But I got to stop talking about winning the lottery. Holly has won the lottery. She doesn't know it. I don't even know where she is. She's over here with one and over there with another and over here somewhere else with somebody else. She has no idea. She came into the presence of God and a framework that's going to shape her into a world beater, a conqueror, a world-class leader. Who knows what she will be? Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. You want what the world wants? You want to be cool and suave and you want to fit in out there and you want to be what they are on social media and you want them to like you and send you little hearts and all that stuff and retweet what you tweet and tweet and you want all that stuff. I'm telling you, you love what they love, you're going to get what they get. You want what they want and the leprosy of Naaman is going to come down on you in a heartbeat. You're going to. But if you want what the kingdom wants, that's going to come on you. Somebody say amen. Is there anybody today that can just say, I am so blessed, I am so glad to be a part. I'm glad. My God, when I look back, when I think of what he's done for me, when I think of what he saved me from, when I think about where he's brought me to, I gotta tell you today, my heart is full. My heart is full. I'm so glad that I came to the house of God. You know that table I was talking about? That's my table. That's my table. We started just me and Donna Gay. And then we had these precious little girls. And that's how we came to Birmingham. And it was before all the strictness on the highway. They were running around in the back of that blue station wagon without seat belts. without special harnesses. I know that's blasphemy. Get back, Brianna. And we got to be a part. We got to be a part of this. We got to be a part of what God was doing. We got to be a part of God raising up a church in Birmingham. My goodness. And along the way, my girls found boys. That's what happens. When you're not looking, they smuggle a Portuguese in on you. But my table, my little table I started with was big enough. And then it wasn't. And then, I can't remember exactly. All I know is Ashley was in one room crying. Because she tested positive. And Grammy was outside the door shouting. Because she tested positive. And then the table got smaller. And you know right now it won't hold us. My goodness gracious. I can't tell you how exciting it is. I got those bookends, those first grandbabies, singing in the praise group. Now, you got to understand this. When you want what the kingdom wants, you get what the kingdom gets. When you want what the world wants, I'm just going to tell you, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're not playing Saturday nights in some bar room with bangles in your nose and in your ears and out your chin, tattoos running up the side of your head, and have, you don't know her. You don't know her. Half her head shaved, and God only knows where we would have walked. But she came to the house of God. See, that's what makes you great in the house of God. You could be great in the world, but you're great in the house of God. My God, my table's not big enough. My heart is not big enough. God keeps expanding this thing. And you know what's going to happen here? God's going to fill this balcony. God's going to fill up every inch of this place. God's going to bring multitudes in to receive the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? Because when you want what the kingdom wants, you get what the kingdom gets. But when you want what the world wants, you know, I'm going to tell on you. It's okay. When I first started coming to that apartment teaching you and Daniel Bible study, I would rather have fought Daniel. That's all I got to say. That is a powerful woman. Yo, you don't know. You say, well, what does that mean? That means, man, I got to watch her. I got to watch her come in, and she started doing what the kingdom did and getting what the kingdom gets and started getting all frilly and girly. And started, oh, it's just beautiful watching God transform somebody. I'm just going to tell you, you would not want to have crossed her in a bar on a Saturday night. And don't look at me, am I telling the truth? Yeah, you and your friends. But what happened? She started wanting what the kingdom wanted. She started loving what the kingdom loves. She started walking like the kingdom walks. And she started getting what the kingdom gets. My God, there's a city full of people out here been scrabbling for what the world wants, and that's all they're getting. But I'm telling you, there's others that are coming. There's others that are coming, and they're going to want what the kingdom wants. I got to quit. Praise God. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift our voice. If you're still here and you want the Holy Ghost, you can get it right now. But I think everything they wanted, they got it already. Praise God. Shake somebody a little bit and talk in tongues. Shake them a little bit more and talk in tongues. Pray some anointing on them. Pray some blessing on them. Praise God. Praise God. You can do that. You can do that. But I'm going to stop. I mean, it'll be good. You can do it. We're going to do this again tonight. We're going to have prayer at 6 o'clock. We're going to have an apostolic service at 6:30. And God is going to pour out the Holy Ghost in the house. And we're going to have a time in the Lord. God bless you. Strengthen and bless somebody. Go ahead.